You're tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. I'm Kenny Shook.
The fact that it takes this young man to be incarcerated, to feel safe, to feel secure, to have a full belly.
Somehow or other, we have to have the people around that tell the kids that what they are is valuable, that what they are is important, and then to build on that.
People's Tribune Radio provides a source of revolutionary audio programming to people interested in changing society. It is produced in association with the newspaper People's Tribune, the bilingual magazine Tribuno del Pueblo, and Speakers for a New America. When we step back to look at what shape our society is in, people have differing views. For the thousands of corporate CEOs who experience record profits and increasing salaries, they may think society has a few problems, but they believe overall it's in good shape. However, the millions of average people whose wages continue to decrease, whose pensions, retirement, and healthcare continue to be slashed, the people in search of a job with stability so they can live their life with dignity, to all those people, society is not in that great a shape. For this growing population, society and the economy have nothing good to offer. For those who still benefit from the system, this population is considered a surplus population that needs to be controlled, and prisons are their answer. Over the last 30 years, the U.S. prison population has gone from 250,000 incarcerated to over 2 million, with another couple of million under the thumb of the judicial system, on parole or probation. Prisons create a sense of hopelessness among thousands of poor and working class men, disproportionately men of color, but increasingly this hopelessness is experienced by women and youth. Today's show focuses on an alternative way of working with this hopelessness. Please listen as we speak to individuals involved with the Evergreen State College program, Gateways for Incarcerated Youth. The Gateways program works with incarcerated youth at two Washington State juvenile prisons, Maple Lane School in Centralia and Green Hill Academy in Chehalis. The program uses strength-based academic and cultural programs to develop the skills and personal power of students at these institutions. Formerly incarcerated youth, Terrence Turner, was able to use Gateways to see past the hopelessness of the system. The graduate of the Evergreen State College now has a successful career in hip-hop, both as an artist and through Caution Studios. Turner describes who Gateways is and what they do.
Gateways provides education for incarcerated youth. It just gives people a secondary outlet as opposed to sitting in a jail cell and doing nothing. They're providing them with cultural awareness and educational classes, college credits if you already have a high school diploma or a GED or equivalent. That's what the Gateways program is about. It goes inside of incarcerating facilities, which a lot of other programs have not been able to do. And therefore, it gets past that barrier of being able to help people that are incarcerated and is able to directly aid and assist young incarcerated men with educational needs.
Born and raised at the Fort Belknap Reservation, Carol Manu is a retired faculty member of the Evergreen State College and director of Gateways for Incarcerated Youth. She joins Terrence Turner in describing Gateways.
Gateways is a program that brings Evergreen State College students out into the institutions to be peer learners with the guys who are incarcerated.
The ages range anywhere from about 13 to 14, all the way up to about 20, because you can't be incarcerated past your 21st birthday as a juvenile in a juvenile institution. The program usually consists of the people that have their GED or high school diploma and have some kind of initiative or motivation to even want to be in the program, because you have to have that first off.
Gateways is a program that basically has the idea that every person has something within them that they were born with, talents and abilities. And many of the young people, and particularly those that have been incarcerated, have never had the opportunity to have those things and those talents and abilities that they have, that those things are built upon, that they're recognized, that they're supported. And so Gateways tries to help the young people to understand and identify within themselves the strengths that they have, the talents that they have, and build upon those so that they can have a very good life that doesn't have crime included.
They came to me at a pertinent time in my life to where I was really, really frustrated with society, the way things work, and they provided an outlet to show me that not everybody is the way, you know, we think they are. Not everybody is so selfish. Not everybody is careless. And there are people out there that, for no reason known to myself, actually care about people like myself that were incarcerated. And so that was the first thing that I think Gateways did for me. They allowed me to put down my guard a little bit. And once my guard was down, then they allowed me to blossom by just helping, you know, inspire my own creativity, my own things that I wanted to do. They just supported me in my own endeavors, and that was support that I had never received, period, you know, incarcerated or on the outs. I mean, there's been support systems in my life, but this was a different kind of support system that was, you know, a bunch of people that I didn't know. They had no attachment to me. They didn't have any obligations or you know, liabilities towards me, and they were willing to share and give and educate and, you know, really just befriend me on a whole different level.
On-call security officer at Maple Lane, Linnea Elmer, is also co-coordinator for cultural programming at Gateways. Elmer describes a method for working with incarcerated youth and its importance in extracting their hopes and dreams.
I would say the fundamental basis is participatory research and popular education. To my knowledge, these very unique, revolutionary, very simple philosophies are not being used regularly in confined settings. And yet, over the last 10 years, Maple Lane has seen a great deal of success by using this particular philosophy. It's based on the idea that people are the expert on their own lives, as they are, as well as every individual comes with something unique, unique gifts, talents, special abilities, special interests, dreams. And unless we work to accessing those, to drawing those out of the individuals, they'll stay covered. They'll stay stuffed down. They'll stay hidden underneath the folds.
Carol Mignot.
Somehow or other, we have to have the people around that tell the kids that what they are is valuable, that what they are is important, and then to build on that. And I think that should be done in every institution, and particularly when we're talking about juveniles who feel completely hopeless. Unfortunately, many young people feel hopeless today. They feel that there is no hope. There is no way that life is going to be better for them. That there is no way that they're going to be anything but what drug dealer, gangster, whatever it was that they were taught that they were going to be. And we have to help the young people to see that they are more than that and they can be more than that. And if we don't, our prisons will continue to fill and we'll just have more and more expenses for prison. And it's much more expensive to send a child to prison than it is to give them a good education. It costs a great deal more to have a young man in a prison than it does to pay a tuition for 1 year of college. We're so worried about how much money we're spending. Start spending it for kids before they get there. And for those that are in there, make sure that they have opportunities to find out what it is that their potential is. Not just tell them that they have to change, but help them to find out what it is that they are that they can be.
Terrence Turner describes how college students participating in Gateways help incarcerated youth.
They bring in actual Evergreen college students into the JRA facilities and provide a realistic student atmosphere, kind of like a peer atmosphere, so you actually feel like you're in a different learning environment, and it kind of takes away the peripheral walls and prison cells, and you don't really see that because you see outside people talking to you like a regular person and treating you regular and willing to learn and share ideas with you.
One of the ways Gateways assists incarcerated youth is through college and college prep classes. They describe it sort of like Running Start, where a high school student can take college classes while in high school. The way it works is college students involved in the Gateways program visit Green Hill and Maple Lane once a week as co-learners. The students read and discuss a common college-level text, write response papers, and engage in a positive peer relationship. Linnea Elmer.
They have an opportunity to try college, whereas perhaps they're the first ones in their family to even have thought about college. Getting out doesn't seem so scary. The thought of going to college upon release isn't such a huge hurdle. There's a lot of assistance with financial aid and looking at other colleges and whatever areas that they're leaving Maple Lane and heading back to. So there's tremendous amounts of opportunities all around, not only just with identity, but also dreaming of a possible future.
Everyone needs to stop thinking about only the bad things or the things that people do that they disapprove of. They have to start thinking about what are the potentials, what are the opportunities, what strengths does this person have, how can we build on those, rather than constantly telling them that they're not good enough.
So often our guys are exuberant and so full of life and have so much to give in this world and yet very little outlet or very little belief in themselves. And so to say to them, these are the gifts I recognize in you, but it really doesn't matter how much I believe in your ability, or if I have 100 people standing with me telling you how much we believe in your value, until you stand up and recognize your own value.
The vital point for Gateways is that they actually spend the time, ask you about what you want. They actually give you voice. And I think that empowerment is kind of self-perpetuated. Once the person is empowered, they have no choice but to want to feel empowered. And whenever they don't feel empowered, they look back for that support system to give them maybe a little bit of guidance or something, and then they're back on track again. And I think that's really what the heart of Gateways is at. It was looking at a bunch of problems that the world knows existed, but actually giving the people that are dealing with the problem directly a chance to speak on it and give them ways to mention and adapt to change their own surroundings.
The Juvenile Rehabilitation Administration, or JRA, is the government institution who oversees the juvenile detention prisons in Washington State. Terrence Turner discusses Gateway's role in influencing the JRA, as well as the individuals who participate in the program.
Gateways has changed the JRA administration a great deal and have allowed the inmates or students or, you know, population inside there to have a great deal of opportunities that they would not have had it not been for the Gateways program. So, and I think that because they can see that a little bit, it allows them to want to have that mutual agreement with Gateways and with themselves. You know, they saw with their own selves, you know, there was a book that was published out of jail. I mean, there were so many things that came out of jail and hit the world. And when you can do that, you feel empowered. Gateways was the heart of pushing it. They just gave the people the pen and the paper, or they gave them the paintbrush and said, do whatever you want. And with that, the people were allowed to express themselves without this something clenching down on them and telling them, no, you can't do this, or that's wrong. And so it was voice, I think, is most important.
You're tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. We're speaking with people today about the Evergreen State College program, Gateways for Incarcerated Youth. Our next guest is another on-call security officer at Maple Lane. Rudy Nix is co-coordinator for the Gateways Cultural Programming. He really tries to help you think about the bigger picture.
I'll see one of the guys like cut in line in front of somebody and use like an intimidation factor to get his way. And I'll go and I'll say, hey, you know, what about that is okay? He's like, well, you know, it don't matter. You know, he don't care. And he's like, oh, hold it. I said, now, what if someone was doing that to your little brother or your little sister? Or what if someone was doing that to your children when you have children? So just because they're bigger or stronger or smarter, that makes it okay then? Might makes right? Well, you know, and they begin to stutter. Then I say, so in other words, like they did with the Native Americans here, I said, because they had more complex and more powerful weapons, they had the ability to just do it, they could. But that's okay too. Oh, so and then, in other words, when the United States goes into a third world country that's got millions of people homeless and starving and dying of common diseases, and they loan them money to try and make a infrastructure so that they will have the political power to sway which way the government goes and influence everyone there in that country to... That's all right also, huh? Because they are more powerful. So it happens worldwide. The society does it. They do it to each other. And just like you're doing it right now, because you're bigger than him. Is that okay? No. I said, exactly. Now you see, so you do understand about world economics, don't you? So you can tie something as small as cutting in line into a life lesson of how the political system, governments, money, all work together. When you're raised in a society that is preaching that, and everyone within that society is living by that value system, that's a pretty hard monster to kill.
Linnea Elmer.
One of the greatest things that Gateways provides is an outlet to fight against, in my mind, one of the greatest oppressions, the marginalization of youth. To set a low standard on the young men that come to Maple Lane, where many people expect very little from them because, oh, they're criminals. So, they're worthless in society anyway. So why should we expect for them to speak with dignity and respect? Why should we expect them to show respect for women? Why should we expect them to dream or to make it through high school? Well, I'm sorry, you are doing the greatest disservice you ever could do. Unless we decide to raise that bar, we're all part of a prejudicial system. Until that bar is raised across the board, I will never lower that bar. Rudy will never lower that bar. I know he won't. It's imperative that they have a high mark to strive for, because that's how you destroy youth, is expect nothing from them, because nothing is what they'll give you.
Terrence Turner.
There needs to be real treatment programs going on in there. I mean, if you're already locked up in jail, what treatment are you offering a person with drugs? You know, they're in jail. They can't get to the drugs. So, I mean, that's really, I think, a mute treatment for myself, and when they could actually be working on stuff like reentering society. How do you fill out a business application? What do you say when you have to write your convicted felonist on the application? How can you, with this stigma on you, get back into society and be a productive member? Because right now, all they're teaching us or incarcerated people is how to carry that stigma. So when you get back out, you're labeled for life, and it will be nothing but so easy for you to reoffend and become part of the system.
Carol Menu, Director of Gateways for Incarcerated Youth.
So these young men, after they finish their sentences, are back in the communities. And if they're not prepared better than they were prepared before they came into the institutions, they're going to go right back to the same stuff that they were doing that got them in trouble in the first place. There are so many young men that need more educational opportunities in order that we can have a society and that these young people can be free.
Menu goes on to describe some of the violent and desperate circumstances youth are in prior to being sent to a juvenile detention prison.
Kids that at 11 years old are living on the street because there's nowhere else for them. They sleep, they eat, they do whatever they have to do to live. Then they end up in the institutions, and sometimes that's the first time that they've had three meals and a place to sleep with a clean bed. It makes a big difference. A young man who has, since he was 10 years old, has sold drugs in order to support his mother. These are the kids that are there, and they do atrocious crimes. There is no question that they have practically nothing but violence in their lives. And so they come into an institution where there is control, and there's, in many ways, there isn't any opportunity for them to learn about love in their life or when they are put into institution. But learning about love and understanding what love is part of what so many of these young people are missing. They want so badly to be loved by parents who have been abusive to them most of their lives, parents who have led them into committing crimes. And yet, because we want love so badly, all of us want love so badly, we will do these things, we will be involved with these things, and we want that love from our parents. And that's what these kids want.
This is People's Tribune Radio. Carol Menu's description of youth experiences reflect the violence that exists in our society, while at the same time a disgustingness within our economic system. A 10-year-old boy has to sell drugs to support their family, while at the same time we have the ability to create abundance of food, clothing, and houses. A new class is forming in the society, a class of people who no longer fit into the contemporary economic system. One can see this new class in terms like permanently unemployed. Given the experiences just described, many of the youth found in juvenile prisons across the United States represent this new class. People like Rudy Nix and Linnea Elmer work with incarcerated youth to help them understand their potentials. They speak about the importance of working with youth to overcome their situation rather than punishing them.
If you had a dog that was misbehaving and you took it and you locked it up inside a small kennel and you painted a line on the floor, and every time that dog crossed that line, you punished it and you kept it in there for a year. After a year, that dog would definitely not cross that line. But then when you set him free, has he learned to be a better dog? Or has he simply learned to never, ever trust you? You can't constantly consequence somebody and expect change.
Unless we give them the room, the space to make mistakes and to work with them through this and guide them, you won't have rehabilitation. You won't give them the opportunity to see how their choices affect others and themselves and their families.
Punishment isn't changing someone. Discipline means to educate and teach and allow them to make mistakes and see the ramifications of those choices. Is this what you chose? Is this what you wanted? if you're going to continue to do that, then what? Where are you going to be? How old are you now? Oh, okay, so you see that fence? You may leave that fence, but there's another one waiting for you. As long as you decide to choose that way, as long as you are making your choices based on that value system, if that's the most important thing to you, get used to that fence. Look out there. Look at that view and get used to it. Because until you can see something beyond that, until you are able to choose based on your dreams and your love and understand truly what's important, you're in for a long, hard life. Because the fact is, unless you are willing to take some chances to be a little different than your friends and understand what friendship, what real friends are, what they do for you, you're in for a long life of struggles, because you're going to have to learn how to make choices based on your own value system and know where they're going to lead. Take a chance. Be different. You want to be unique? You want to be really different than everyone else? You want to stand out? You want to be a leader? All these things that you talk about that you say you'd like to be, you know how many people actually graduate from college? Very few. You know when people become leaders in their communities who make positive change? How many people in your family, like Linnea was saying, have been to college? Well, there you go. There's your opportunity to be a leader for your children, for your little brothers, your nephews, your nieces. You're somebody's hero. Somebody's looking up to you. Where are you going to lead them? So you take it from a world view down to the most basic of how much do you love your children, like Linnea was saying. It seems to sink in then that their choices affect everyone close to them.
Rudy Nix and Linnea Elmer's work attempts to show youth their value as human beings. Next, Nix describes the contradiction of prisons being a multi-billion dollar business and the need to share with incarcerated youth how the system directly affects them.
You know, this is a billion dollar business. Multi-billion dollar business in the United States is incarceration. It provides all these jobs, but yet within the incarceration machinery, it's like perpetual. And the more they got coming back, the better off they are. So then why change something that is feeding itself like that? It's such a large mechanism that's in place that how do you fight something that large? It starts with the individual. And being able to spend some time within the Gateways program to spend time with those young men and find out what are they truly interested in. And as people have said, well, how do you change them? It's like, I can't. All I can ask them to do is make a choice for themselves, to choose not to be incarcerated any longer, to recognize the system that they're in, the institution of education out there, the institution of America. Well, they are all kind of running on that same system. Getting them to recognize that and to be able to, I guess, see it for themselves and understand that without them participating in that, then that's where the change will begin. All the greatest movements in history began with one person having an idea, standing for what they believed in, knowing that what they was going to stand for was right, not just for themselves, but maybe for those people that was closest to them. And then when somebody else stood with them and said, hey, you know what? I feel the same way. And now you've got two people and the people that they are close to. And it begins. So being able to get them to recognize the larger picture and then how they're a part of it.
And through this process, you're asking them to choose something else, but what else do they know what to choose? And so that's another fundamental piece. We need to be exposing our kids to other things, asking them to dream. Well, if I can't dream, then what kind of things can you show them? You know, and just having that encouragement gives them more options to be able to dream, to see other things, to be exposed to other things than the value system, the upside down values, the same old, the street mentality. What else is there in this world to see, to do, to dream about? What else is there to choose besides incarceration? What are the things that are already inside of me that all I have to do is access and release, and I have so many more options of things to choose than incarceration. A kid saying to you, I'm safe here. I get to eat on a regular basis. I know that I'm going to be warm tonight. The fact that it takes this young man to be incarcerated, to feel safe, to feel secure, to have a full belly, that is what forces me on a regular basis to never give up. Because although there's an ugly beast that we're battling with on a regular basis, there are kids who feel safe for the first time in their life. Nobody's going to come in the middle of the night and hurt them. They will be warm. It's one of the most difficult things I've ever had to wrap my head around, is that you can't feel safe until you're incarcerated.
Carol Menu.
The value of the human being has nothing to do with money. And that value is so much greater than anyone can ever pay you. And so if we can start just thinking of ourselves as being valuable beyond money, that money doesn't have anything to do with our value, that we might be able to start having some kind of a recognition that the money really isn't that important, and that we can move on to doing the important things in life that are about supporting and helping and just being there for other people, whether it's our family or whether it's our neighbor or whether it's the students that we work with. The state of our world is based on the gross national product rather than based on how well our people are relating to one another, how well we're living, how many people are not living in poverty. If we look at the number of people who are in prisons instead of the gross national product to see how our society gets along, we would know that our society is in huge problems. But we're looking at this money thing instead of looking at how many people are living on the street, how many people are unemployed, how many people have jobs that they can't support their families with. That's part of what has to be turned over, is let's look at how many people are living on the street, how many people are in prisons. And our society is pretty sick when you look at that.
Terrence Turner speaks about his vision for a better society.
My vision for a different type of society is a huge power shift. I think that's the first thing that has to happen, because as long as the same people remain in power, our society will remain the way it is. The people that are in the society abroad need to realize that they are the society. They are the power. When they say the elephant's in the room and nobody's looking at it, I think that's what's going on right now in society. And every day I turn on the news and I hear more shock value. I hear more threats. And everything is based on fear in the society. And I think we need to be more based on love, compassion, and sharing, community-based stuff, togetherness, because everything right now is on a segregated base. Everything is segregated. Everything is chopped up into pieces and decimated. And everybody's in their own little box claiming their own little piece of territory. And I think we need to realize that we all have to coexist, and not only with ourselves but with Mother Earth, because you know this is not just our place. So, and I really think that's what we need to do as a people, is to just stop being so heavily influenced by negativity on the television, be more humble in what we do, and see outside of our own selfishness, and you know, have the ability to actually help somebody.
Much of today's media representations and politician scare tactics present youth who seemingly don't fit in as threats, monsters, and problems. Gateways for Incarcerated Youth offers a different understanding, a vision of youth based on their potential, not their problems. As we come to terms with the need to change our world and change the conditions that our next generation grows up in, we must also see every young person today as agents of change and future leaders. But in order for that to happen, we must also help them where they're at, help them reach their fullest potentials, and allow them to help us understand what we are to be. That is it for this edition of People's Tribune Radio. Every month, PT Radio, in association with the newspaper People's Tribune, the bilingual magazine Tribunal del Pueblo, and Speakers for a New America, attempts to share with you information and visions for a cooperative society where everyone can have a proper quality of life. To find out more information, please call 1-800-691-6888. Once again, 800-691-6888, or visit us on the web at www.ptradio.org. I'm Kenny Shook. Thanks for listening in, and please join us next time for People's Tribune Radio. Check it.